Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
First things first, I'm a craftsman. Remodeling is my only passion.
It's my passion.
And I'm the greatest in the business. Want referrals, yo? My clientele will bear you witness.
Right.
I can help when your door jam sticks.
Huh?
There is nothing in the world I can't fix.
Yeah.
I do tiles, I do stone, I do bricks. Call me, I'll come rushing over with my bag of tricks.
Bag of tricks.
Where you going? Your disposal is rusted.
Rusted.
And my trouble making you disgusted.
Yeah.
When your front window is busted. Just one name that's always trusted.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every Saturday afternoon. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
All right, we have now reset ourselves. We are back into home improvement. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for sticking with the last half hour and our presidential address and stuff. So we're getting ourselves back on track right now. Join us in the conversation. We've got some time this segment to take some calls. 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Join us on Facebook at Around the House with Eric G, at ATHKXL. Like and follow us over there so you can stay catching up on that. And then check us out for our podcast. If you missed the last hour, we were talking about how to start those major projects. You'll find it up on our podcast. Just about anywhere you're going to find a podcast or your favorite podcast listening format out there. All right. Let's talk a little bit about a subject you and I were talking about earlier this week.
Yeah, well,
this was one of your ideas, and I liked it actually.
I've never bought a home personally. I've never gone through that process. But from the outside looking in, I'm just going, God, there's so much to deal with. It's daunting to me to just all of the people you got to talk to, all the forms, all the stuff you got to set aside, and all the stuff you got to worry about.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many things with that. But I have to say, this segment Around the House is brought to you by Adair Homes, building quality custom homes throughout the Pacific Northwest for 50 years. Find a design center near you at AdairHomes.com, CCB 593. So here's some things that you got to dive into. Buying a home is an emotional decision. And if it's not, that's good. But for almost everybody, I fell in love with this place. And sometimes that can be good. Sometimes that can be bad. I want to talk about the things you shouldn't really pay that much attention to and get worked up over, because there's so many things about that you need to do. Let's talk about the stuff you maybe want to dial back a little bit. My first thing that I say out there, lawn care and basic curb appeal. If they haven't got it dialed into your liking, I'll be honest, forget about it. These are things you can do to personalize it down the road. Now, when I say with basic curb appeal, if the front of the house is freaking ugly and you can't just throw some paint on it and maybe do some landscaping to fix it, maybe it's not the house for you. But if you look at it and go, man, they just haven't cleaned the driveway in 6 years and they haven't done this, easy to do.
Or a gaudy front door.
Maybe you got some crazy big steel metal security gate across the front that you hate. Saws I'll fix that pretty quick. So don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about that curb appeal stuff. So many people don't think about that when they're selling a home. Or they're putting it up for market. They just don't care. The realtor sits there and says, hey, you know, we need to clean this up a bit. They go, nope, it's what it is. I'm going to get what I get. I don't care. Take advantage of that because you can get probably a better, fairer price on it. But that's one of the big ones that I think that you should pay attention to not paying attention to. Because you can fix it later, and it's an inexpensive trick to that. Now, this can have some expense to it, but paint colors really don't matter. If there's a room that's bright red, yeah, it's going to be horrible painting it. But you know something? Just about everybody can dive in and do that. If not, you can hire a company to come in and do it. But if those paint colors are horrible, you can fix it. Well, it's not that big a deal, and you're going to personalize it anyway.
Yeah, if you're buying a home, you're probably going to be there for a while. Eventually, you're going to want to make it yours, and paint is a great way to do that.
I had a house that was on the market that was literally blocks away from my house, and it looked like somebody got crazy with the neon yellows, neon greens, neon oranges on the inside of the house. This was fairly cartoonish. And that house sat on the market for a while, and they had to drop the house down. I didn't even notice it was down by the park by my house. I was kind of surprised. And whoa, I saw the, because we go to the walk to the park, and I wonder what that thing's worth. Holy smokes, that thing, somebody had, 25 gallons of primer going in that thing just before they started painting it, because it was bright, and it was pretty awful to my taste.
There's not even an era for those colors.
No, there was no era to this. I mean, it looked, I hate to say it, and I love Jamaican colors and stuff, but this looked pretty much bright greens, bright oranges, bright reds. It was very kind of Caribbean feeling, but like, I'm going to get a Caribbean street food, not, it was just not
going for me. Not a livable space.
It was pretty obnoxious, but no offense, everybody's got their stuff, but I'm sure the realtor on that one had some serious conversations about what to do with that place. They didn't do it. Somebody came in and got a good deal on that house because they had to do some painting. But really, the painting, if you're doing it yourself, it's not that much cost to that.
So basically, what I'm understanding in our conversation here is that some of these things that when you look at and you're like, I really don't like that, I could fix it later, you're actually going to be saving some money in the long run when you're buying these houses.
Because most people walk in and go, oh my gosh, you see the paint color of that living room? There's no way I'm going to buy that house. That was horrible. It's paint. Fix it. What's the rest of it? What's the bones like? Is it going to be good? So that's one of them there. Here's another one. Lighting fixtures. When I'm talking lighting fixtures, you can replace almost every lighting fixture in a house without doing major surgery. Oh, did you see that 1982 chandelier? Great. Pick the one you want.
They're easy to take down. You just got to get up there.
Oh, it doesn't have a fan in it. You can have an electrician come in and swap out, put a box and a fan in it. It's not that expensive to do. And these are things that save you money in the long run. And quite frankly, I don't want to pay the extra markup because somebody came in and put a bunch of cheap fixtures that I don't want in there anyway. I get to go pick my own out. I'd rather do that than to try to get their flip house that's got these $12 light fixtures in it that they bought at the home improvement center off the clearance rack.
Trying to use that to bring up the
price. Trying to make it look good. I don't mind going through and changing that stuff out. Maybe you need to put can lights in a room. Okay, you're going to pay a little bit more for it. Take a look at it. So those are some of the things that when you get into that you got to pay attention to. One of the other ones I think is that you don't have to worry so much about it. Appliances. That refrigerator's avocado green. If it's working, don't worry about it.
That could be your next beer fridge in the garage.
It could be. It could be the beer fridge in the garage. It could be, one that you're going to throw on Craigslist and get rid of. Or if it's not even worth that, when you go down to your home improvement appliance store, wherever you buy your appliances at, you go buy a new one, have them hold the old one out. And so many times, especially walk into the big box stores that are selling appliances, you can get some deferred financing for blah, 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 however long you want to do it and get free numbers on that. Do that months down the road while you're in the house. Don't not buy the house because of the fridge or the dishwasher.
Or the stove or anything like that. If you want, you're going to end up upgrading that anyway.
These are things that unbolt, so don't worry about it. Those are things you don't really get into with that. So that's the big stuff. Don't worry about this, in a nutshell, don't worry about the stuff that's easy for you to fix or inexpensive to fix that are really big pieces that scare people away. If you walk in and that avocado range with the coil elements from 1976 is sitting in there, get yourself your new induction one and go plug it in there after you get the house bought, because if they would have put it in there, you're paying for it anyway.
And you probably would have been paying quite a bit more, actually, when you think about it.
Yeah.
They put that in the house and the house price goes up.
So that's kind of where I want to go with that. Is just dial back the emotion. Make sure you're making a good business decision on this. But don't worry about those key little things right there, because those are what's going to kind of cost you some money. So it's easy to do. Save yourself a buck in the end. So, all right, there we go. All right, when we come back, we might be able to fit one more phone call in, 503-417-9595. And guess what we're going to do here? We're going to wrap the show up because it's our last little segment.
Already.
I got a little speech when we're done. All right, see you in a minute.
You are around me. You can feel my heart regularly pounding. I get a little of this, little that. I drop my hands, shake my shoulders.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement each and every Saturday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. We've got one more caller we can fit in the show here. Let's try it. Let's do this. Angela, welcome to Around the House.
Hi.
Hi, what can I help you with today?
So my house was built in 1949, and they, being the contractors, put the kitchen cabinets down in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they do that?
Well,
why did they do that?
You know, so many times back in the 40s especially, they built the cabinetry on site. And so it was not like they went to their cabinetry person and ordered it up. They built it right there in the house. So what happens is it's just depending on how the contractor built it, or people have done things down the road later. They maybe put the cabinets in on the rough floor and then came in and did the flooring later. I've also seen it. I mean, I've seen an inch and a half to 2 inches. I had a house in Seattle that I used to own that I had up there that, I mean, it had 2 inches of flooring in there because there had been 6 remodels and they left the cabinets in there and they kept just layering flooring and flooring and flooring on it. And I had to cut the countertop out just to get the dishwasher out of it, and ended up having to do my own remodel because of it. So you'll see that happen where people just overlay and overlay, and then you're stuck. But with something that's 1940s, yeah, those could have gone in any time that that house was after the either drywall or plaster was put in there, depending on who did it. Typically with that, cabinets went in whenever the contractor wanted to do it, and it could have been early or could have been late.
Well, that's why I actually called, because I'm counting on then not only when I replace my cabinets would be replacing the floor as well. What will come first, though? Because they need to come out at the same time, but you can't really have your floor, depending on what's underneath there, you would have to have, you know, your floor put back in before you could put your cabinets. So you got to take
the cabinets
out.
What kind of floor are you going to put down?
Well, I probably will put down... I'm debating on if the floor's level completely, I'll do a nice tile. If I'm going to have to do something janky with, you know, I probably have to put some subflooring down. We'll see what the cost is.
Sure.
I may have to put down, because of the leveling of those older homes, a really nice linoleum that looks like tile.
Here's what I would do. If I'm putting tile down, I like to put the tile underneath the cabinet so I have kind of a nice waterproof layer through there. That way, if you do get a water leak, that it just, you know, it stays within the tile and you're okay. Now, if you're doing vinyl, yeah, they can come in and put the vinyl in afterwards. But I'll be honest, it's pretty easy to level floors these days with all the new products out there. So don't be too scared about that. Every home out there has got a little bit of unlevel floor in that kitchen space, so they can really get in there and fix that pretty quickly. So unless you've got something where it's inches out of line, it's not really that big a deal.
I know there's one layer of linoleum, and then I put some really actually pretty decent laminate that looks like hardwood, but I want to do it all real nice. I also wanted to know, I have granite countertops.
Yep.
It's a small kitchen. We're talking maybe 8 feet of granite total, and then in an L shape, maybe 3 feet on the L. Is that pretty hardy? It's like an inch thick. Will that be able to be removed pretty easy? There's only 2 places where it's seamed together.
Yeah, that's about a 50-50 shot. You can flip a coin on that, because depending on how this... It likes to break where the sink cutout is or where an appliance cutout is, and so that's where you end up breaking countertops with that. I always tell people it's about a 50-50 shot removing that, and that's tough. Now, one thing I want you to remember with this is watch out for that vinyl floor that's down there below that. You could have asbestos in that, and so you'll want to get that tested before you dive into that too much. And if you have a contractor come out there, they're going to want to have that tested as well these days.
Yeah, I thought about that.
So
definitely
sure
have
that.
To have a contractor that has that lead-based license.
Yeah, you have to with that house, exactly. And then on top of that, they're going to want to test that flooring to make sure that that flooring is not filled up with asbestos. It's decent. If it's a better flooring that they put down, it's probably higher in asbestos than some of the cheaper ones, because the better flooring back in the day had
more
asbestos in it. So something to think about.
Well, you've been a really big help. It definitely would add on thousands of dollars if I didn't take into consideration all the things that you just went over.
Hey, no problem, Angela. Thanks for listening to Around the House. We really, really appreciate it.
Every day I listen. Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Great call.
Good stuff.
Man. Where'd the time go?
Oh, man, we only got a minute left.
We didn't have a minute left.
Oh, no.
We're running out of time. This is a great thing. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. It's been a great, fun show. But you know something? That's all the time we got for this week. Our thanks to the man, executive producer Dane Vodder, for making the show sound great. John Eric, who ran the Communication Center, and Jeff Thomas for keeping us on track and, more importantly, on air. Most of all, though, we want to thank you for listening. Want you to join us next week from noon to 2, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair, designing for remodeling, and renovation of your home. Until then, be sure to do what you love. Love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And I'm listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with Design by Eric G LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2019. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast and all the shows at aroundthehouseonline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with chalk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
We're all over the radio.
We have some exciting news about the Around the House podcast. Do you want to be an Around the House insider? Our premium membership gives you early access to the weekend podcast, exclusive access to our back catalog of shows, special email access to me, Eric G, with your own home improvement questions with a priority email address, plus exclusive new shows and extended content. Click down into the podcast show notes for the link to the Around the House insider membership for less than the price of a beer at happy hour. Join me for this limited amount of exclusive members. And thanks for listening to Around the House.